Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Welcome to Bollywood is for Lovers. I'm Aaron Fraser.
And I'm Matt Bose. In honor of this year's Summer Olympics in Rio, we are going to discuss three sports movies.
First up, Shahrukh Khan leads a team of 16 female field hockey players in Shimit Amin's Chak De India from 2007.
Then Farhan Akhtar channels the iconic Indian runner Milkha Singh in Rakesh Omprakash Mehra's Bhag Milkha Bhag from 2013.
And finally, Salman Khan pins down the competition as a Haryana wrestler in Ali Abbas Zafar's Sultan from earlier this year.
I like that. What did you have there? 16 female field hockey players. It seems like some sort of like exercise to get your tongue working.
Yeah, that's
16 female field hockey players.
I do like to provide, you know, a bit of like tongue twisting exercises at the top of the show so that we can really, you know, get loose. The bourbon also helps.
Yes, we're drinking a delicious Woodford, which people who've seen Mississippi Grind may remember as the best bourbon.
Well, I mean, Ryan Reynolds certainly thinks so.
Yeah.
I got this for my birthday, and then we saw Mississippi Grind, and they kept going on about Woodford bourbon, and we were like, hey, we have that. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Anyways, we have been on kind of a unplanned short break. We're sorry, lovers. We did not mean to take such a long break, but it's been very stormy here in Edmonton. I mean, I guess the closest we ever get to something like monsoon season. And a lightning storm fried both our internet router and our six-month-old iMac.
Well, it's important to note that neither of us were here.
No.
So we got home, and we don't use the computer that often, mostly just for editing the podcast. And I tried turning it on, and it went nutso on me. So,
well, first we discovered we had no internet, and without internet, we couldn't watch a couple of these films off of iTunes like we were planning on it. Mm-hmm. So then that delayed us. And then a couple of days later, we found out our computer was fried. So it's at the Genius Bar now, and yeah, unfortunately, this delayed us by a couple days. But the Olympics kick off on Friday, August 5th, and we will have this episode out beforehand. So yeah, we're still somewhat on time.
And feel free to click on the fine products offered to you by our commercial purveyors, because we can use the money after things keep blowing up in our house.
Yes. was there a joke there?
Yes, that was the joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you've heard of jokes.
Okay, yeah. So, the Rio Olympics are happening this year from August 5th to August 21st. Are we planning on watching them?
Probably not.
Probably not, no.
Unless Canada does something cool, but it's unlikely.
Yeah, I can't say there's anything I really look forward to in the Summer Olympics.
The Winter Olympics.
In the Winter Olympics, I like the figure skating. I grew up watching figure skating, and so I have a fondness for it. But every year, on the last day of the Olympics, I say to someone, oh, when is the figure skating happening? And then they tell me it's the last day of the Olympics, and I missed all of it.
Well, you're definitely not going to miss it this year because it's not on.
No, it's there's no figure skating in the Summer Olympics. But this has given us the opportunity to talk about sports movies. And I'm going to say, Matt, I like sports movies hell of a lot more than I like sports.
This probably shouldn't surprise longtime listeners of the podcast, but yeah, sports movies are great. And possibly one of the best reasons to make a movie, honestly.
I think it's a really fascinating genre. I think there's so many excellent films, and there's something kind of, I think, because it becomes, you know, like man versus self, right? It's about that journey of challenging yourself, whether it's kind of a team sport and it becomes kind of team versus self, or an individual sport, and it becomes about like challenging yourself to be like emotionally and physically the best that you can be. And I think there's something kind of inherently cinematic in that journey that I find really fascinating when it's executed well on screen.
It's also interesting to see human bodies in motion, and that's sports provides.
Yeah, and that's one of, like, I don't know, my basic pleasures about cinema is seeing bodies on screen. And so I find, like, a really well-constructed sports film, you know, really draws me in. What are some of your favorites?
With really constructed actors is what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed all three of these quite a bit.
Yeah.
But just in general. You know, the Rocky movies, I like those a lot. Liked Creed quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not so much in the beauty of cinema angle, but I do like Slapshot.
Yeah, okay.
That's a solid sports movie. It's got to be a baseball movie I like.
I love Bull Durham.
Yeah, Bull Durham's fun.
Bull Durham's great. I also really like Field of Dreams.
Yeah. Moneyball, a different sort of baseball movie, but that was really good.
Baseball movie is one of probably my favorite subgenre of sports movies. I also really like A Field of Their Own. It's really lovely.
Game of Their Own. League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own.
Yeah,
oh my God.
That's what it is.
League of Their Own, yes.
Yeah.
Really lovely film that, you know, kind of, I think you can see echoes of in Chak De India to a certain extent. Personal Best is kind of mesmerizing.
Yeah, you talked about that on your other podcast, didn't you?
Yeah, we actually did it against
it was Robert Towne, right? It was someone weird who directed that?
Yeah. I mean, Leni Riefenstahl's Olympia and Olympia Part 2. I mean, if you want to watch Bodies in Motion, that's about the 1930s Berlin Olympics.
Yeah, the Nazi Olympics.
Nazi Olympics, yes. Which you can see restaged in the recent film with Jesse Owens, or about Jesse Owens, Race, which is not very good. Just watch Olympia.
Also has nothing to do with the Akshay Khanna and Saifa Ali Khan star Race.
No, nothing to do with them.
Which is probably marginally better.
Probably. But yeah, I'm sure we're missing plenty of sports titles that we really enjoy.
Well, let us know. You know how to find us, listeners. Just, you know, send us a tweet.
Yeah. And there's also Mary Kom.
Yeah, Mary Kom, which we spoke about in our Priyanka Chopra episode.
Yes.
And would have probably made a lot of sense in this episode.
Yes.
But I'm actually really happy with the three movies we watched. They were all really good.
Yes. So two of these films do actually feature scenes at the Olympics, and one does not. Had we not discussed Mary Kom on our Priyanka Chopra episode, we might have included it here. But because we did, we chose Chak De India instead.
Chak De India.
Doesn't go to the Olympics, but I think provides a nice balance to the other two films because it's about women.
Yeah.
And it's about a team sport, where the other two films are about individual sports. And field hockey is a sport played in the Summer Olympics.
I feel like we actually learned quite a bit about field hockey while watching Chak De India, because I had no idea. I still don't know why the sticks aren't longer. It feels like it's hard on your back running around like that.
The length of the sticks depends on the height of the player.
Sure, but I feel like if you get a longer stick, you can also hit harder slap shots, too.
Yeah.
So that's just the Canadian in me coming out again.
Yeah. Why don't you set up Chak De India for us?
Okay, well, Chak De India was inspired by India's win at the 2002 Commonwealth Games. And the character that Shah Rukh Khan plays is also sort of based on a real guy, right?
Yeah, they kind of came up with his narrative and then discovered it was actually really close to a hockey player from the 80s. And so they kind of... There's kind of a line of truth to parts of the story.
So the movie's directed by Shima Damin, who I mentioned before, and stars Shah Rukh Khan, who you've got down here. He used to play hockey back in college. That's awesome.
Yeah, he did. One of the reasons why he was drawn to the role.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought, you know, going into this, I was thinking it's kind of a Mighty Ducks type scenario, but it's more of a nation-building project, I'd say, this movie.
Yeah.
So there's 16 players on the team, and I'm not going to say all their names.
We're going to say all their names.
Okay, well, hopefully I don't screw them all up.
Okay, you do half. I'll do half. They're known as the Chak De girls.
Yeah. Anitha Nair, Tanya Abral, Shilpa Shukla, Arya Menon, Shubi Mehta, Shitrash Rawat, Kimi Laldawa, Masuchan Simic, Sandhya Furtado, I'm just going to keep going.
Okay.
Nicola Sequeira, Sagarika Ghatge, Kimberly Mirand, Seema Azmi, Rania Masarchanas, Nisha Nair, and Vidya Malvade.
Nice. We probably messed up a ton of those.
Yeah.
But, I think it's really important to say people's names. We're trying to say people's names correctly. And we do want to give, you know, every single actress in this film a shout out because they all deserve it.
Yeah, and so... I guess I can go into the story a little bit, but Shah Rukh Khan plays Kabir Khan, no relation to the director of Kabul Express, one presumes. But he's a field hockey player on the national team who is disgraced after losing the championships.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a penalty shot that should have gone to one of his other players, but he's the captain. He thought he could do it. Mm-hmm. And it's insinuated by the press afterwards that he threw the game to Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know anything about India and Pakistan? They can't. They don't really care for each other a lot of the time. So this makes him a pariah. So about 6-7 years later, he comes back to the Association of Field Hockey and says, "Look, I'd like to coach the women's team. I'd like to get back in, and
he doesn't really like approach them. They approach him. They need someone to coach the women's team.
They need someone they need someone, but he was ready to go.
Yeah.
So,
but he was like he was waiting for them, but
yeah.
He didn't kind of
he comes into the meeting later on and eventually kind of butts heads with the association leader. And yeah, he gets what is essentially the best player from each province and a couple of girls who are already on the team. Like there is three or four who have been on the national team before. And it seems like when you're in India playing a sport like this, if you get to a certain level, you kind of become a government employee. Because one of the women talks about the apartment that she's given by the government,
mm-hmm.
and how her family loves the apartment. They don't really like having her play hockey all the time.
They're supported, and I think supported to a certain extent, but yeah, there is some support for them.
Mm-hmm. And as we learn, the women's field hockey team is kind of seen as an afterthought to the men's, and seen as having no chance whatsoever at the finals, so they say, yeah, go for it, who cares?
Yeah, not just... This isn't just women's sports, but it's women's field hockey, so kind of like, we're... led to understand within kind of the hierarchy of sports in India, you know, cricket is the best, field hockey is kind of overlooked, women's field hockey really overlooked.
Yeah, it's probably closer to something like ringette here in Canada.
Yeah.
Which is designed to be the women's afterthought to the most popular sport.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta say, I know we're gonna do an episode of cricket at some point, but cricket is fucking ridiculous. And one of the sort of villainous characters in the movie is one of the women's fiancés, who he is a player on the national cricket team, and mm-hmm. he thinks he's hot shit. So he's like, yeah, you could play your little game, but don't forget who the moneymaker is around here. And yeah, I mean, field hockey inherently makes sense, whereas cricket, I've had people explain it to me a couple times, it's still whack bat to me. I have no idea. But anyway...
I'm pretty sure it is whack bat.
So the provinces represented by the national team include...
West Bengal, Punjab, Uttar Pradesh, Andhra Pradesh, Haryana, Mizoram, Manipur, Chandigarh, Jharkhand, Madhya Pradesh, and
Maharashtra.
Maharashtra. Thank you.
Yeah. So it's a real grab bag of women from across the subcontinent.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really get along. And one thing that we thought while watching this movie is that it is kind of interesting to see all the different sorts of people mm-hmm. that you get from across the country. And one thing that the casting director of this movie did very well is have women who all look different and all don't really look like movie stars.
Yeah, these women look realistic. They look like regular women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm always telling people that India is as linguistically diverse as Europe to try and explain how culturally diverse the country is. And so I found a film like this really interesting because it's really talking about that diversity and about the challenges of bringing together a group of people who have these kind of long-standing prejudices against one another, mm-hmm. and to kind of overcome those opinions and come together as a team. And one of the big messages throughout this film is that you're not representing the province that you're from. You're not playing for that province. Mm-hmm. You are playing for India. And I found that, I think if you're not familiar with, you know, Bollywood cinema and kind of this aspect of Indian culture, this film could be really eye-opening and really help you start to understand the different regions.
Yeah, just what they look like, because some of the women from the north could almost be Tibetan, really. They look like it. They look like Mary Kom. That's where she's from.
Yeah, she's from Manipur. And people do make racist comments to them, you know, and kind of, you know, racist, very, like, Chinese-centric slurs.
Yeah, doesn't someone
slurs.
Get called a fortune cookie or something like that?
Something like
that. And the girl from Punjab, she's built like a brick shithouse, honestly. Yeah. She could break me over her leg.
She's awesome.
And she's kind of the, you know, the enforcer on the team. And yeah, there's a fun scene where all the girls learn to work as a team by beating the shit out of some guys at a McDonald's.
Which is awesome because, like, because
they're attacking the northern ones. Like, these guys are talking about them.
They're catcalling them. They're saying like, oh, you know, you're really attractive and all this other stuff. And it's the girl from Punjab who stands up and says, like, don't talk to my teammates that way. And that's, like, the inciting incident that brings them together, which is wonderful because, like, catcalling is the worst thing ever. And I think, you know, across the world, women have to deal with it. I was downtown today, and I was really glad that I don't work or live downtown because, man, the creepy-ass dudes offering to marry me mm-hmm. were insane. Like, why are these creepy-ass dudes offering to marry me, Matt? Maybe it's because they know you won't.
That possibly.
Yeah, but I have no
time. You have an aura of singleness coming off of you.
I have no time of day for these assholes. And so I really like that it's very much this kind of this issue that for the most part women have to face that brings them finally together.
Yeah, this is about halfway through the movie.
Of their coach Shah Rukh Khan.
Yeah, cuz he's kind of he's an interesting character in this because I wouldn't say he's an especially cerebral person, but he is kind of a hard taskmaster who knows how to play people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knows that to get all these women on board with being a team, they have to be in opposition to something. So he drills them really hard. You know, some of them hurt themselves, they're all exhausted, and they start to actually really hate him.
Yeah.
And that's his plan.
Yeah,
and the assholes at the McDonald's.
He says that someone has to play the villain. And he really believes that he can bring this ragtag group of girls together and that they can win. And so the first half of the film is very much setting up the team and getting them to work together. And then the second half takes place at the games in Australia.
Yeah.
And it's very much about them having to face off against all these other teams that maybe have more experience than them.
And different tactics than they're used to.
Yeah, exactly. And again, like, learning how to work together, but also learning how to be successful.
Well, before they
it's
go to...
It's a very different kind of learning how to work together, because before they're just training, and then they're actually, like...
They go to Australia, they hear that they're not actually going to be funded to go to Australia by the association. And Shirek says, well, you know, let's settle this on the field. I'll have my team play against the men's team.
Mm-hmm.
And while they don't win, they actually do pretty well. Which, you know, considering that the men's team has been playing together longer. And, you know, physical attributes, can't lie about some of those. They can hit harder. They can run faster, possibly. Yeah. But they actually hold their own after the first half, not so well. But then they start getting mad and they start scoring some points. And the men's team, you know, does the salute with their sticks and says, you know, you guys did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's how they get the go ahead, which is a nice scene.
Yeah. And I mean, we're not going to say what happens in the end, but it really is, like, you know, it's one of those sports movies that really gets you on the edge of your seat, and you really, like, you're really rooting for them. And the action scenes here are incredibly well done. They were directed by Rob Miller, and he won a Filmfare Award for the action scenes. The film won overall 5 Filmfare Awards. It also won the National Film Award for Best Popular Film Providing Wholesome Entertainment.
It was wholesome entertainment.
And the script for the film was requested by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences for submission to the Margaret Herrick Library.
Hmm.
So, you know, like...
That's interesting.
People have really noticed that this is, you know, a movie worth emulating, worth celebrating, worth discussing, worth studying.
I would have liked a bit more explanation as to the rules of field hockey. I mean, it's similar to ice hockey, but we were wondering why there was kind of a slick noise as the ball and the sticks ran down the field. And it's because they actually wet down the grass or the AstroTurf, which is interesting considering we just had the Women's FIFA Championships in Edmonton last year, I believe. Yeah. And one of the main complaints raised is that no male team would play on AstroTurf, but the women's teams do.
Yeah.
And here, it's said that they, you know, we had to look this up, but, you know, they're playing on AstroTurf, but they're wetting it down because that's just what you do in field hockey. If you don't, for international competitions, you don't use terrain that the locals would know better.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like tennis, I guess, because you've got grass tennis, you've got clay tennis, you've got AstroTurf, and you kind of have to know how to play in each one.
Mm.
Whereas a competition that only happens every couple of years, if everyone can train on the same terrain, then it's easier.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it that way. I just looked up why they were wetting it and read that was standard.
I just remember that everyone, well, a lot of people were kind of up in arms that the women had to play on AstroTurf, which is pretty, you know, deadly if you fall down.
Yeah.
You scratch yourself up pretty badly. But I guess wetting it down kind of helps with that. But I guess you wouldn't get away with that in soccer. That's something we're still unclear about.
Again, we're not sports people. We don't we don't understand the sports.
Although I did write an article about sports one time on The Pulp.
Oh, right. You did.
Of fictional future sports.
You did. Now, watching this film, Matt, I was really struck by it. I was really taken. I think it has one of the best kind of, you know, coach locker room speeches that you'll see in a movie. And I'm such a sucker for those.
Mm-hmm.
And I like movies about kind of team sports because I think there's something to, you know, having to bring this group of people together towards a common goal that you can really relate to. I would love to see a remake of this about the Canadian women's ice hockey team. I think that would be awesome.
I don't know if it necessarily needs to be a remake, but it is a pretty simple story.
Yeah.
Just kind of would you want a disgraced male coach taking over though?
I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a disgraced male coach, but, you know...
If you can get Gretzky. Would you get Gretzky in the movie?
God, no. No. But a film about, you know, kind of, you know, Canadian women coming together and kind of having to work with each other. And it's not far off from stories I've heard about the Canadian women's ice hockey team. I had the opportunity to hear one of the coaches who did coach them to the Olympic gold medal in Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked a lot about how the team had been on a losing streak. They kept losing. She was under a lot of pressure to kind of whip them into shape and get them to work together. And she talked a lot about how difficult that was dealing with women, you know, coming from all over the country. And I mean, I think Canada is a bit more homogenous than India, but we're also very diverse.
Especially terrain-wise.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of these women, you know, had really kind of given up a lot to play sports, but were also balancing, like, families and children and careers and other things to do this. And there are a lot of challenges that these women have that a lot of men don't necessarily have because it's a lot of NHL players who end up on the Canadian team.
Yeah, they're all rich.
Exactly, who are go to compete for the Olympics. These women are not.
No, they work at Home Depot.
Exactly. And so, like, I don't know, I guess I was just swilled. I guess I was just kind of filled with this sense of national pride watching this film, which I understand, you know, people in India were as well. It became a bit of a sensation, and the song Chak De India is very much a sports anthem now in India. That I just want to see something like this about Canada. And, you know, we are a country that loves our hockey. Mm-hmm. Where are our hockey movies? There are some, but...
It seems like even a Quebecois film could do this. Mm-hmm. They're the only film industry we have, so they might as well try for it.
Ooh, shots fired.
Well, it's true. You know it's true more than most.
Yeah, I do.
But yeah, speaking of the song Chak De India, we're going to throw to that right away with a song sample.
Yes, here's a song sample from Chak De India, the song Chak De India.
Featured in the film Chak De India. So that was Chak De India from the eponymous film Chak De India.
Yes.
But we're not talking about that anymore. Now we're going to move on to the next movie on our list today, and that is Bog Milka Bog.
Which means Run Milka Run.
Yeah. So it's based on the autobiography of Milka Singh, who's often called the Flying Sikh.
The Flying Sikh, yeah.
Who was a runner in the 50s and 60s who broke lots and lots of records for India, but never achieved gold at the Oscars. never achieved gold at the Oscars. He never did it. No, obviously, I mean the Olympics.
He never got silver or bronze either. He only replaced fourth.
Yeah, and the movie tries to explain what was going through his head at the 1960 Rome Olympics when he was running in the 400 meters. And yeah, he just kind of broke. It's based on his autobiography, The Race of My Life, which he wrote with his daughter. And interestingly, you told me this, the rights to the film were sold for 1 rupee under the agreement that a portion of the proceeds made by the movie would go to Singh's foundation for poor and needy sports people.
Yes, 1 rupee amounts to about 1.5 US cents. Mm-hmm. So he really wasn't in this to make money, but to, you know, use his story and the opportunity that he had, you know, to have his life adapted to this Bollywood film to help people, which is really commendable.
I can only assume that he probably waited for the best team to come along.
Yeah, he had several offers.
Yeah. The director on this was Rakesh Omprakash Mehra. And Aaron, why don't you tell me a little bit about this story?
Sure. So it's a biopic of Milka Singh. Farhan Akhtar stars as Milka Singh. Pavan Malhotra stars as one of his coaches. His coach while he is in the army. Yograj Singh stars as his other coach when he's
his
working,
coach Ranveer Singh is the
working
name
towards
of his
the Olympics.
Coach, yeah.
Sonam Kapoor also stars as one of his love interests, and
for some reason.
And Rebecca Breeds, who I think might be the best white actress I have seen in a Bollywood film.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She is great. She is
it's almost as if she's not some Norwegian person that wandered by.
Yeah. She is a love interest when he is at the Melbourne Olympics. She's Australian. The film covers quite a breadth of Milka Singh's life. It opens at the 1960 Rome Olympics, and that is very much about the decision that he has on whether or not to go play in the Indian-Pakistan games shortly thereafter.
Yeah, the friendship games.
Yeah. Run, not play. I guess you don't really play when you run. And he's somewhat hesitant to do this, and we then kind of flash back and are told his life story, and we learn of how he escaped the partition between Pakistan and India by himself, how he was orphaned at a young age, and how he struggled to get where he currently is as kind of India's main athlete. And it jumps around a lot in time, but it's a really moving story about the triumph of the human spirit and how one can overcome and deal with these incredible traumas that we face in life. And Singh had to face quite an incredible trauma of seeing his family murdered as a young boy.
Yeah, it kind of has a Citizen Kane aspect to it because...
Yeah, I guess.
We've got...
Minus the kind of, like, unreliability and being an awful person.
Yeah, but, like, we've got Pavan Malhotra and Yogaraj Singh who are talking to a functionary from the Indian government as they go on a train ride to Chandigarh where he lives. And, you know, Malhotra talks about meeting him in the army.
Yeah.
And Yogaraj Singh talks about, you know, training him on the Indian national team. We don't actually get him talking about his own life. It's usually someone else explaining why this happened. And, I mean, obviously, the scenes set pre-partition are coming from his experience. But in the way the film is, you know, set up, it's actually him being explained to us, which I thought was really interesting. And, you know, Citizen Kane-esque, I will say it.
Yeah, and it's really engaging because it kind of doesn't... I like that it's not a traditional linear narrative. It is very much kind of like we put flashbacks inside of your flashbacks.
Mm-hmm. I think we were three flashbacks deep at one point.
Yeah, but it really functions on kind of the sense of emotional logic that Bollywood films do while still being narratively consistent. And we visit the partition era scenes a few times before we finally see what happens.
Quite a few times, yeah.
And so when we do, I think we have the weight of kind of all of the experience that we've seen since that we understand how all of this shaped him. Mm-hmm. It's very kind of complex, but deceivingly simple way to, you know, really flesh out a man, you know, to explain who someone is. And it's very, I mean, by the end of this film, I have tears streaming down my face. It's so moving and it feels effortless, but it's not. There is so much working there on kind of a script level to get you to this place that you understand this person as a human being.
Yeah, I wish more, I mean, I guess I don't want a Hollywood version of Partition, but I wish more people talked about it here. Because it was, like, one of the biggest migrations of people in human history. And, like, a million people died as areas that were, you know, relatively harmonious became either, you know, Islamic or other religions.
Mm-hmm. And it's affected a lot of people in Canada. Like I said, it affected a lot of people all over the world. But when we were watching this film, I really said, like, you know, I really feel like, you know, the Alberta, like, school curriculum should cover things like partition. I mean, we get a lot of stuff about World War II and
et cetera, and French Revolution.
But I think things like this are just as important.
Well, it's as important as, like, the Holocaust or the Ukrainian Holocaust, the Holodomor. And we do hear about those, but we also have a lot more French people. We have a lot more Jewish people. We have a lot more Ukrainian people, especially in Alberta. There's lots of Ukrainian people. So, I mean, that's the way the curriculum's kind of bent. But you'd think, I mean, we're not in junior high school now, but there are quite a few, you know, South Asian people living here now. Maybe it is addressed.
Yeah.
I wish it would be.
Well, I mean, when we went to the theater the other day, there was a lineup outside the door to go see Bambukot, a new Punjabi film.
Yeah, lots of Punjabi, lots of Sikhs live in Edmonton.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were there to see a Chinese movie, which maybe we'll talk about that at some point. Hilarious movie. But yeah, this was a Sunday afternoon and it was packed for the newest Punjabi feature.
But getting back to Bag Book and Bag, this is actually one of the first Bollywood films I saw, and it's really, really stuck with me. I think not just for its emotional arc, which I find kind of incredible, but also because it has some, like, really, really exciting dance scenes.
There's that. Yeah, I mean, you're a big fan. And I would say that this doesn't fall into the masala mode. There aren't characters just inserted for comedic purposes.
No.
I will say that the romance between Farhan Akhtar and Sonam Kapoor is really the downside of the whole film.
Yeah, I think she is the weak link. But it still, I mean, has some of those masala aspects. Like I said, like, these dance sequences. Like, there's an amazing one at among the army recruits, when Milko Singh first joins the army, that like is so utterly masculine. Like, here are all these men just dancing, and there's nothing feminized about it. And I remember the first time I saw that, I was just floored and so elated to see like how happy they were to be like dancing together as a group of like army soldiers, and nothing was feminized about them. It's like pure masculinity.
I'd be interested to learn more about Bhangra, actually. Like,
yeah, I've taken Bhangra classes.
When did it actually start? Because he would have been in the army in the 50s, and could that conceivably have been a dance you would do?
I would assume so, yes.
It's one of the ones that goes way back. It's not kind of based on modern, you know, dance styles or music that's out there.
I think things are always evolving, but I get the impression that Bhangra is pretty traditional. I know I've taken Bhangra classes, but we didn't cover that. It was
mostly, you screwed in the light bulb?
Yeah, or picked mangoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can call it what you want. And then there's also this incredible dance sequence at an Australian country western bar that just, my jaw's on the floor. And there's an excellent training montage, and I know you like a good training montage.
I like the training montage. I will say that our next film, Sultan, has two amazing training montages, but the idea in one of the training scenes in Bhag Milka Bhag is that he is sweating so much that he walks over to a bucket, he squeezes out his shirt, and he's almost able to fill a bucket. And his buddy early on accidentally drinks a glass of his sweat, which is really gross. But
and Farhan
Akhtar, that's such a good like visual metaphor for just working a lot.
And Farhan Akhtar looks amazing in this film.
He's pretty ripped, almost dangerously so. He's very vascular.
He looks amazing.
Yeah.
He's in excellent shape.
Yeah. He must have lost, I don't know, 50 pounds really. Because he's just no body fat whatsoever on that guy.
Yeah. Now, the film won 7 Filmfare Awards and 3 National Film Awards, including the award for the
Wholesome Entertainment Award?
Yeah, the Best Popular Film for Writing Wholesome Entertainment. I have to look at the full title of that award.
I wonder if Sultan will pick that one up this year, because sports, I mean, unless you're delving into the seedy side of it.
Yeah, your Tonya Harding movies.
Or the way that certain people go a little bit crazy when they get money. I mean, you could
doping. The Lance Armstrong film that just
came out. Yeah, but for the most part, like, a good old-fashioned sports story about someone who just wants to be the very best, like no one ever was.
Yeah.
And going out there and doing it. That is something that the whole family can enjoy.
It's wholesome entertainment.
Yeah. I really like Bhag Milka Bhag. I wish they would have focused less on him and Sonam Kapoor, but assuming, like Mary Kom, that the still-living historical personage had some involvement in the creation of the movie. I mean, that must have been an important thing that he wanted to address.
Yeah, so
she's the love who gets away.
Yeah, the character that Sonam Kapoor is playing is based on a real love interest in Milka Singh's. I think it does kind of drag the film down a bit. We should also say that there's like a rather steamy scene with Rebecca Breeds.
Yeah, the Australian girl.
Yeah, and I like the Australian girl a lot more. I think she has a lot more personality, a lot more energy. And there's this like this great like sexy shot of them on the beach and her lying on his back and him doing a push-up with her on it. And she's wearing like this cute 50s bikini. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to you about this when we watched it. But I feel like if this had been a fictional story, his relationships with women really are the driving force of the film. Early on, his sister also survives and they meet up in a refugee camp.
Yeah.
And her husband's abusive towards her, so he feels the need to stand up for her. Later on, he meets Sonam Kapoor. And at this point in his life, he's become kind of a goonde. He's got a gang of kids and they're stealing coal because they need to live. And he decides, I'm going to stop doing crime. I'm going to join the army. I'm going to make something of myself. I'm going to be so good that they name a day after me, which they do at some point. Later on, when he hooks up with the Australian girl, he makes careful note to tell her afterwards, after he loses the race, that in his broken English, because he doesn't really know English that well, that it's not her fault. She kind of felt like maybe she distracted him, but no, it was all his fault.
Yeah.
And then after that, a woman on the Indian swim team, right? The mermaid. Mm-hmm. She comes on to him and he's like, no, sorry, I have to train. He's got this number in his head. He wants to beat the world record for 400 meters. And it kind of is like an undercurrent throughout the movie that he's doing this either... He's proving himself for women, right?
Yeah, I think it also really sets him up as kind of like a very stand-up person. I mean, mm-hmm. like this film, you know, is very much about the things that Milka Singh has gone through and how those things have driven him to be an honorable person and not a angry one, you mm-hmm. know, not someone who has given up on the world or let these traumatic experiences define him, but he's overcome them. And so I think, you know, the way he treats women and the way he treats everyone is a testament to that, you know.
Like, yeah, the most he'll get is competitive.
Exactly. Or, I mean, like, he does at one point kind of, like, try on this one guy's jacket without permission and then he gets beat up. But really, I mean, the most kind of negative attribute you see from him towards other people is his competitiveness.
He's and like, stealing to live, but that's, you know, that's the Les Miserables thing, right?
Exactly. I mean, everything is justified. And I think it's, you know, it's to this film's credit that none of this seems really forced or really one note or really like they're glorifying him too much. Mm-hmm. He really just feels like a person.
There is the scene, which is pretty gripping, but after he's been beaten by members of the Indian team
yeah.
and his leg and his foot have been gored with cleats,
yeah.
He, at this point, doesn't really like wearing shoes. He's ran barefoot his whole life. And he tries to put on a pair of shoes, but his swollen feet won't fit. He's determined to win this race to get onto the Indian national team. And he runs, and the bandages fly off of him at a certain point. And while highly allegorical, that could be taken as maybe a little bit over the top. But maybe that's what happened.
I mean, you know, again, like, I don't find anything, like, that it's glorifying to the point that I'm rolling my eyes. I mean, it's still a movie, you know, and, yeah. and I think you want those moments of triumph. It feels triumphant.
Yeah.
More than, like, it's this empty glorification.
Well, and
more than it's idolatry, I guess.
And that's something that Sultan actually explores, is glorifying an athlete and right. what could that can do to a person.
Right, so maybe it's time we should move into Sultan, our sure. last film.
We love Bob Nickelback, though. Loved Shakti India, too. Yeah. And Sultan, I feel like you were less, you know, into, because it is kind of your bog standard Salman Khan movie. But if you want to watch one of those, this is a pretty good one.
Yeah. And this movie is doing gangbusters. It made it to the North American top 10 at the box office the weekend it came out, playing in, you know, far less theaters than the rest of the films.
I saw that it's currently list. Approaching third highest ever, which is Dune
yeah,
3.
It's getting there, yeah.
Yeah, so it could conceivably knock Aamir Khan out of the top three.
Oh, no, and because he's got PK.
Well, yeah, there's PK, but then what? Bajani Bajan. And yeah. then Sultan?
I mean, I don't think it's going to beat PK.
But that's really interesting, though. It's just the two of them fighting over it.
Yeah, I mean, and speaking of Aamir Khan, Dangal, another wrestling picture, is coming at the end of the year, starring Aamir Khan.
Yeah, that one's looking interesting, too. But for Sultan, directed by Ali Abbas Zafar, and it features Salman Khan, Amit Shad, Anushka Sharma, and Randy Pooda. And, you know, as members of the Randy Pooda Appreciation Society, we are really happy to see him here.
Yeah.
And it's about Salman Khan playing, I forget his real name, but he eventually calls himself Sultan.
His name is Sultan.
Well, he has like a full name, but like he just goes by his first name, Sultan. Yeah. And he is a lovable doofus who lives in Haryana, which we've come to learn afterwards is a pretty rural, not exactly cosmopolitan place.
Yeah. Kind of seems like Alberta.
It may be a little bit like Alberta, yeah. And in order to win the affection of Anushka Sharma, whose father runs a wrestling academy, and she herself is the lioness of Haryana, really good at wrestling, you know, national level good at that point, he decides he's going to become a wrestler. He's going to sacrifice everything to become the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah, because wrestlers marry wrestlers. Dentists marry dentists. I don't know. I don't understand his logic. Well,
it was a little bit confusing because you do have Semicon looking like the giant beefcake he is.
Yeah.
And we're to believe that he's never, ever thought in his life, hey, maybe I should go into wrestling. I'm super fast and I'm very strong. You know, wrestling never really, you know, came up.
He's also like in his 20s.
Yeah, he's, yeah. I mean, you can't really fault a Three Cons movie for having the main character play a teenager all the way up to 60 years old.
Yeah, this has a bit of a structure like Bad Mungo Bag 2, where Amit Shad is like the founder of this MMA wrestling sport.
Yeah, he's got a promotion. I think you call it a MMA promotion in India.
Oh, okay, in India. And it's not doing well. They're not getting big audiences. And his father recommends to him that he go seek out Sultan, who has become kind of older, pudgy, and is no longer who he once was.
And like the girls in, like the women in Shakti India, he's been given a government position. Like, he works in the water department in Haryana. It's kind of his sinecure for doing a good job in sports.
Why don't you get the sense that the girls in Chakdania are going to have a government position?
They probably won't, but, like, they also get subsidized by the government, and then his kind of reward for doing well was to get a job.
Yeah, exactly.
Cushy
and so
job, too.
One of his friends kind of tells his backstory as to why he's become kind of this broken-down individual. And then in the second half of the film...
He's got a pretty good reason to.
Yeah, sort of. And then in the second half of the film, we see kind of how he overcomes this and joins this MMA group and kind of regains his legacy.
Yeah, Randy Pudi plays the crusty old trainer who is much younger than Sultan. But,
yeah.
You know, he was kicked out of MMA for being... He got kicked out of MMA or something. Like, there's some reason why he's a super badass who isn't an MMA fighter anymore.
Yeah.
The fights, they're in a parking garage. It's very edgy down there.
He's got a lot of locks on a wall.
Yeah, every person he trains gets a lock they put on a wall. He chases Sultan around on a motorcycle, telling him to move his fat ass around. Whereas back in the day, he could outrun a train.
Yeah.
And
we should say... Sultan at one point does go to the Olympics and win gold. This is fictional.
Hilariously enough, though, Sultan's adventure at the Olympics with Anushka Sharma, like they go as a team.
No, she can't go.
Right. That's one of the big things. But yeah, for a while there, they're working as a team. They're going to national events and I think even the Asian Games. But
yeah.
She can't go to the Olympics for a reason I won't go into. But they, you know. The amount of time they spend on the Olympics in this movie is maybe 2.5 minutes. Even Sultan thinks
it still counts for our episode.
Yeah, it counts for our episode. But even Sultan kind of thinks it's the Olympics as an afterthought.
Yeah.
And the World Wrestling Championships, that's his goal.
He wanted to do that. Yeah, if he wins those, he'll be King of the Ring.
Yeah, he wanted to be known as King of the Ring. So, Aaron, I know you're not the hugest fan of Sultan. I like him a lot.
I like him.
But I think what this movie does to the traditional Salman Khan character, which Sultan definitely is,
right,
is that it adds a level of pathos and tragedy based on his own, you know, ego.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I go so far as pathos and tragedy, but I think there is kind of a metatextual critique that you can make about his character here. So, you know, he starts out chronologically in the film. He starts out as kind of this lovable doofus who believes that, you know, all women should love him and all men want to be like him and that he can do no wrong. And then he makes mistakes and mm-hmm. he kind of takes advantage.
He makes pretty big mistakes.
Yeah, he takes advantage of the people in his life and he neglects them and he lets his ego get in the way. And he really has to acknowledge that and overcome that in order to kind of regain his dignity. And so I think there is something about the kind of older, out of weight star trying to make a go at things again, and how, you know, people laugh at them and then, you know, kind of winning out in the end. I think there is kind of something integral to Salmon's career, you know, starting out as this kind of romantic hero and then having this dip and then coming back with Wanted. And there's still a lot of people who will point and laugh at his age, you know, that he still is playing these big burly men, these big like burly characters opposite these much younger stars, and that he still kind of parades his body around. But I think, you know, in this film, he in ways addresses that and says, no, I am awesome. No, you can't bring me down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really appealing.
Well, it, like I was trying to get into with the ego thing, usually a Salman Khan character is essentially blameless. Mm-hmm. He's a lovable fool who, you know, by no fault of his own gets mixed up in problems. But this time, he definitely does make decisions and he pays for them.
Yeah.
Which
is
a nice spin on the character. And you don't get that a lot with him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm finding that between this and Bajrani Bajan, that the typical kind of Salman picture is becoming a bit more sophisticated, at least in terms of kind of themes. I don't like this film as much as Bajrani Bajan, but I do think it's like, it's very crowd-pleasing,
mm-hmm.
It's very engaging, it's very emotional, and I like that ultimately it really is a love story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of the three films, this is the only one with a really strong romantic plot.
Yeah, Chakya India, to its credit, doesn't really try to do that at all. It doesn't shoehorn anything in.
No.
I was actually kind of waiting for some starlet to be hooked up with Shah Rukh Khan, but it never actually does.
No.
Which is good. Yeah, you don't need that.
Yeah, and I think if you'd had him kind of starting a relationship with one of the players, that would have really marred.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy.
His,
they do mention that at one point.
Yeah, I mean, one of them tries, but it really would have marred his kind of his heroic status within that film. I think you would no longer be able to see him, you know, as this honorable coach.
Mm-hmm.
And in Bajmal Kabag, you know, his relationships with women, both those that are his family and those that he's pursuing romantically, are important to the film. It's very much about him.
And we don't ever meet his eventual wife, too.
No, who was a captain of the women's volleyball team.
Yeah, she may not have wanted to be in the film, or they just thought, you know,
dramatic
purposes, we should focus on times of strife for him rather than a happiness.
Also, it might have not fit into the timeline of what they were doing.
Yeah.
Maybe she didn't want that part of
possibly
their life, or he didn't want that part of their lives shown. But with Sultan, you know, like Salman Khan's driving force is this love he has for Anushka Sharma. Now, I don't really like who plays Arfa. I don't really like how he meets her and then pursues her to the point.
You don't
point
like
that she
the original meet cute of her hitting him with her motorcycle and then punching him in the face?
No, I like that.
Yeah.
But I don't like how after he meets her, he pursues her and pursues her and pursues her.
Well, I got to tell you something about Bollywood movies. I mean, that's a fairly common character trope.
Till, like, she can't say no anymore. I find that kind of a little problematic. But overall, I actually do really love the character of Arfa.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's a very strong-willed character. She's not kind of your typical Bollywood starlet. She's not overly feminized. She is a wrestler. That doesn't mean she doesn't get to, like, get down and boogie in some dance sequences and wear some amazing clothing and, like, get, you know, dolled up at this this one wedding scene. Like, she looks amazing. But
great songs in this one, too, I'd say.
Yeah, but she's not shown as weak. And in kind of a, like, she doesn't have feminine weakness. And when kind of there are things that are holding her back to a certain extent, because she is a woman... those are played for strengths, and the sacrifices that she makes for
mm-hmm.
Sultan and for herself and for her family, I think, are really admirable and come from a very kind of relatable and empathetic place. And I think there is a lot of strength to that character in those moments and in those decisions that she makes. And
I think
you understand everything that she gives up for Sultan well, Sultana doesn't appreciate that. And I think that's an important dynamic to see kind of how women are taken advantage of, and that doesn't make them any less strong, but how men can kind of take for granted being men.
Do you know what this movie is?
What?
It's Pride and Prejudice.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
It totally is.
You love... Okay. By the way, for anyone listening, Matt loves Jane Austen.
Yeah.
I can't stand Jane Austen.
But it is about...
And I can't find Aisha anywhere legally to watch for us to discuss the Bollywood Jane Austen adaptation.
It is about two people who are very, very driven individuals.
Yeah.
Who, after kind of a... You know, it's a misunderstanding in Pride and Prejudice, and in this there's a family tragedy that occurs, but to find themselves driven apart and eventually come back together through the intervention of friends and also by virtue of being awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm out on a limb here. I think there is something to that.
Well, I mean, all romance plots are either Pride and Prejudice or Wuthering Heights. Mm-hmm. Like... You know, so, I mean, it's gotta fit into
one of
them.
Yeah.
Which themselves are Cinderella and Beauty and the Beast. So yeah. It's gotta fit into one of them.
Yeah. I will also say, a completely other tactic from Jane Austen, I thought the fight scenes in this were fantastic.
Yeah.
I feel like the physicality that you can get from Salman Khan that you can't get from Priyanka Chopra, for instance, the boxing scenes in Mary Kom were okay, but they were really edited in a way so as to not either have a body double or, you know, not see the full effect of the fights on her.
Let's be fair, though. That might not be Chopra. That might be the director's decision.
It could
decision.
Be in her writer. It could be anything.
No, but it might be the director's decision of the way he chose to edit those scenes, because I think you do get a lot of physicality with Chopra in a lot of the training montages.
In the training montages, yes. But in Sultan, the fighting is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, acrobatic in a way that actually exists in MMA, and very, very physical.
Yeah.
You mentioned the...
Super gay. But yeah.
That's MMA for you, though. I will also say, you mentioned before the training montages. Two training montages. We get young Sultan's training montage of becoming the, you know, the Haryana, the king of the ring. And then we get old Sultan's training montage with... You know, Randy Pudi yelling at him and him being generally exasperated.
You love a good training montage.
Both, you get both of the two kinds of training montage. Either a young person trying to get good or an old person trying to get good again.
What did you think of the songs?
I thought the songs were really good. And I thought for a movie that didn't necessarily need to have interesting staging and costumes for that, they really went out there.
Yeah.
One
of them is very MSG Messenger of God.
Yeah, the one...
with, like, these Punjabi guys with, like, dyed blue beards and, like, lights everywhere.
That's the one about the electricity that's flowing through them.
Yeah.
And you get interesting, like, carnival scenes and weird, like, art tractors that these biker dudes are riding around on. That was really cool. And I also like the Baby Go Bass song.
That's a great song.
That's a good song.
Great song.
Yeah.
And the dance in that, I think, is awesome. I mean, Salman Khan is not the best dancer, but I love the way he lumbers around.
Well, he's playing with that, too. He's, you know, he's wiggling his butt around and like, oh, hey, check this out.
And the Sultan theme, also wonderful. It really, like, pumps you up for this film. I could do without the weird song that, like, Sultan sings that becomes, like, an internet sensation.
Yeah, I went to the bathroom during that part, but yeah, he sings a song about how much he likes Anushka Sharma.
Oh, and he does the weirdest dance move where he like falls to the floor and like raises his hips up and down and like looks at you. It's so weird.
And he does a spin into kind of a b-boy thing a bunch of times, and this becomes a YouTube sensation. Yeah, you probably didn't need that, but it also is part of the story of how the MMA promotion needs like an Indian connection. So why not have Lovable Doofus?
No, I think it's just shoehorned in there so there's another song.
Possibly.
I don't think it props up the plot in any way whatsoever. That you can totally do without it.
Did you like the focus on pressure cookers?
I did like that. I really liked that, actually.
Yeah. His first sponsor when he's an MMA fighter is for pressure cookers.
Yeah.
And this guy named Tiny and his pressure cooker factory, they're all cheering him on. Yeah. I like Sultan a lot. I would definitely watch it again.
Yeah. No, I like all three of these films. I would say Sultan's my least favorite. And Chakdari,
there's something to sports movies that make them kind of rewatchable, too.
Yeah.
Because it's not a mystery where once you know the ins and outs of it, you're kind of going back for the craft of the movie or just to see how it was done. But sports movie, you generally know what's going to happen. Or you could look it up if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And it's the fun of getting there and enjoying the ride of being, you know, on board with them.
Yeah. I really want to start adopting Zodiac Motherfucker's way of rating films.
Yeah.
And if I were to adopt it, I would say that Chakde India and Bagma Kabak are not optional.
Yeah.
And Sultan is optional. Like, that's ultimately how I feel about these films.
I would say all three are not optional. And I would add the caveat that I feel like Zodiac would probably like Sultan the best.
Okay.
That's the sort of thing he likes.
Zodiac Motherfucker, if you're listening, please let us know what you think.
Yeah.
And is it okay that we use your scoring system for cinema?
Yeah. Well, we credited it properly.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. It's not trademarked.
Well, that brings us to the end of this Olympics-themed episode. We are sorry that it's late, but hopefully you've enjoyed spending this hour with us discussing these films. We will be back in about 2 weeks, a little less, because this episode has been out late, and we will be discussing Varun Dhawan, who recently had a film come out opposite John Abraham Deshoom. So we'll be looking at that film, as well as two of his previous films, Badlapur and Main Terra Hero. So please join us for that episode. In the meantime, Matt, how can people keep up with the show?
Well, you can check us out on Facebook. Look up Bollywood is for Lovers. You can like us there. We occasionally have a little chats there. But the main way to get at both of us is through Twitter. You can find me at @Matt_BOWES.
You can find me at Erin E. Fraser, ErinEFraser. The podcast itself also has a Twitter account, Bollywood Pod.
Yeah, and our surprisingly popular Tumblr account, BollywoodIsForLovers.tumblr.com, where Erin puts the fantastic show notes.
Subscribe to us on Stitcher, iTunes, where you could also leave us a review. We'll read all reviews out on air. And on Audio Boom.
Yeah, Audio Boom is our main platform for putting the podcast out, and we always like working with them. So, with that in mind, good luck to all the participants at the Rio Olympics. I hope you stay healthy in a more dangerous environment than you would normally want from an Olympics, and especially the Canadian and Indian teams. I hope you do well.
Chakde India. Yes. And Chakde Canada.
And Pakistan's Indabad, by the way, because we love Pakistan.
Chakde Pakistan.
I don't know if that's what it means, but
it means go.
Yeah.
Go Pakistan. Pakistan's Indabad. Go India.
Oh, we're going to...
Go Canada.
We're going to cause a rift. People are going to get mad at us. But anyway, we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Thank you for listening.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew, of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,